Let's take your Bibles. And Eliana's here. Come, honey. I'm going to have you recorded throughout all history. Not quite your first fellowship, but almost. And let's go to Psalm 119. What I'd like to share with you today, I guess the title of the teaching is When You Take God at His Word. All right? And then the question is, what happens when you take Him at His Word? And Psalm 119, 105, which is the theme of this church, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You know, God has given us His word. He's given us everything that we're ever going to need. And anytime we follow it, anytime we do it, and the key thing is not just hear it, but do it, then all kinds of wonderful deliverance happens in our lives. God's involved. We're walking with Him. He's blessing us. It's just the greatest thing in the world. And go to Proverbs chapter 8. Be a little bit of flipping today. Proverbs chapter 8. It says, starting in verse 32. It says, Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, and waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And remember, every time that word Lord is all capitals in the King James, it's the word Yahweh. That's God's proper name. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. You know, your sin, your righteousness, and your sin, it says in Job, don't move him. God doesn't get affected by either. You do. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And any more than the ant that walks on the floor is bothering me for the noise that it makes. I wouldn't hear it if it was a truck, but even when I could hear well, the ant didn't bother me. God loved you. He loves you. He sent His Son for you. He loved you when you were His enemy. He's never going to stop loving you. He's never going to stop loving you whether you sin or whether you walk righteously. He's going to know that you are His, and you're honoring Him when you walk righteously, that you love Him. But His love is never going to change when it comes concerning you, His viewpoint of you. You know, it's our choice whether we accept Jesus as Lord. And when we do that, we walk like He is. I'm going to do what He tells me to do. It's our choice. But the Word gives us everything. The ones that read it, live it, follow Him, they're going to be blessed. And we're just going to look at some of these things. Go to, before I go on, we're not only just going to be blessed, but everything that we need in this life comes out of the Scriptures. Every subject that you have questions about is covered really in the Scriptures, all the major ones. Marriage, how to raise children, finances, how to live your life, how to love your neighbor, how to work, and why you work, and to whom you work. Every single one of these, I mean, how many more things do you really have in life? You know, I mean, I'm not talking about what bank do you put an account in. I'm talking about the big pictures. God's word gives you everything that you need, and he tells you the proper right way to do it. And if you do it his way, you'll be abundantly blessed. You know, so just think about that. You got a question about life. I don't care what it is, business, life, whatever. You diligently search the scriptures and you apply those truths that are in there. And I'll tell you what, you'll be a genuinely blessed individual. You may not be the luckiest person, but you certainly will be, you won't be dragging. You won't be dragging. You won't be on the bottom of the pile. In 2 Timothy, very familiar verse, chapter 3, verse 16. Most of you can all quote it by heart, but let's just read it. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The purpose? Why did he give us all this? It says that the man of God may be perfect, absolutely complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly perfected unto all good works. The word gives us everything. And the purpose is so that you and I are completely equipped to handle anything that comes our way. Anything. And I don't care how old you are, how decrepit you are, and I don't care how young you are and stupid. It's the truth. When we were young and stupid, God did miracles, and we were really clueless on the deep things of God. And yet, now that I'm older, much older, I'm still kind of clueless in some, but I'm not even sure I know why I'm clueless. And God still does miracles. Remember, he never changes his perspective of you. You can't sin enough for him to stop loving you. It's the goodness of God that leads you back to repentance. But he'll give you everything you need. All you got to do is pick up the book and start studying it, looking at it, seeing it, asking him to show it to you. And when he does show you a great truth that all of a sudden it pops out of the page, that's revelation from him. That's the Spirit of God working within you so that you know that you're fine. Hey, look at that one. And here's a new way to look at it. It's a beautiful thing. Show up to the meeting on time. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And it comes through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be ye partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You got everything, and it's through the knowledge of Him. You know, you can't get it just because you're there. And just because you attend the meeting doesn't mean you got it. You know, it doesn't work by osmosis. It's like we had the baby dedication. You train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it, right? But it's up to them at that point. Your job is to train them. The promise is, hey, this is the best way to go. But they all have freedom of will. You have freedom of will. We're to bring our kids up in the nurture and at the admonition of the Lord. We are to do our best. And you do this with yourself. You do this with each other. That's why you come to fellowship. You come to fellowship not to just hang out for the cookies. You come so that you can give to each other, so that you can encourage each other in the Word, so that you can help each other, pray with each other, love each other. Who else is going to love you? Now you think about that. You know, this is the greatest, this is the body. Right now we're just sitting, a bunch of us here in this house. But the love that you'll get and the encouragement that you can receive, excuse me, is priceless. It's necessary. If you're all alone, you know, I mean, I'm glad you're on Zoom, but I would rather you be here. But you guys that are all over the place in Puerto Rico, and I mean, I get it. You can't show up on Sunday morning. But I am, it's always most beneficial to be face to face. It's not a really an optional thing. To be blessed. You know, He's given us these things. And you know what it says? He has called us to glory. And I love that. I wish I was a real preacher. Because your future address, you can tell the postman, my forwarding address is glory. You know, we got God and Christ in us, the hope of glory. That word just sounds juicy. That's what we got in front of us. That's where we're heading. That's what God's given. That's a gift. So, in Psalm 25, Psalm 25, verse 12, says, what man is he that feareth the Lord, fears Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord will teach you every day. You reverence Him, you fear Him, you respect Him. He's the one you want to please. You know, another way of putting it, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every day He will guide you in the way. He will guide you what you need. He'll give you the words to speak. Isn't that what the Lord said? When the Spirit comes, He'll give you what to say when you need it. This is an active, every moment thing. You know, sometimes I don't wake up to that until the next day. Oh, I missed the whole day walking with the Lord because I wasn't thinking. And I didn't, you know, just didn't, you miss it. You know, you just miss it. like you're with the people you love, and you didn't pay attention and you didn't appreciate what you had. You know, we're human beings. We still got this old nature. We're flesh. And unless we grab our minds and claim and live the promises that have been given to us, we can go weeks and months deadheads. You know, it's not from following the Grateful Dead, but you're deadheads. Remember, they used to call these people deadheads. I can understand where they got the name. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What a key. In everything you do, he's with you to do this. He's there with you to do this. Now, he's not going to tell you what soap to buy. But you need, he's there. He's there. You know, so if we got the word and we fear the Lord and we are really endeavoring to do this word, and none of the men of God in the scripture were perfect. Not a single one. Some of them look pretty perfect. You know, like Daniel. You don't see much where he looked like he blew it at all. Yeah, at least I haven't seen it, or I don't remember anything in the Bible. You know, Joseph, yeah, we got, you know, Abraham, yeah, she's my sister, take her. You know, there were a lot of people who had a little questionable moments, you know what I mean? But you and I, when we walk this word, now this is the thing that I think most people have a hard time with. Because, I'm not good enough. You know, we got those thoughts. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Well, you know, the reason Daniel was so delivered, it says in Daniel chapter 6 in the lion's den, when the emperor or whatever he was, you know, the president, the guy, the king, when the king wanted to promote Daniel, he wanted to make him over the entire nation, second in command, right? And the political people at the time, who also wanted these jobs, didn't want to get moved out. I mean, it's nothing new in the world, right? So we got to come up and get rid of Daniel. We got to get rid of this man. He's in our way. We're not going to progress because he's better than us. So they came up with the plan. Well, the only way we're going to find anything against this man, because he's crossed every T, he has dotted every I, he's been completely honest, completely faithful in every affair of the kingdom. The only thing we can find against him is his belief in God, his practice of praying every day. Remember? So they got the king to make the decree. Hey, king, live forever. Nobody should ask anything except for you. And the king got tricked into signing this thing. But the key was God delivered them. You know the story. God delivered them. And the king threw the other people in because he realized they worked them. They worked him, and he got rid of them, but God delivered. But here it is. Daniel is a man of God working for an ungodly king. And he is doing it like he's working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like he's working for Almighty God himself perfectly, to the best of his ability. His integrity was impeccable. Because he lived the word. And he saw the miracles he did. One of the great prophets for a lot of reasons. It's just an example. But you know what he was? He was a kid. He was just a kid who became a slave. They even took his name away. And he just wouldn't compromise his belief. And God promoted him and the others that were like him. God is the one who takes care of. You know, Daniel's not the only one. There was a king by the name of Josiah, and he's in 2nd. You can read about him. It's not that long. He's in 2nd Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And what can you do when you're 8? But it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And God blessed him. And that's all it says. And then it says, when he was 18, the people that worked for him found the scriptures. So in other words, he didn't know much about the scriptures. He loved God. You know, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, probably through tradition and other things, but the respect that he had for God. And then when he was 18, they found the scriptures. And when they found it and the guys read it to him, he rent his clothes and realized that they were so far away from God and that what the people were doing was so far away from God. And he repented himself at 18 and sought for the Lord's counsel. And they ended up with this prophetess who was working as a clothes maker. And said, what's going to happen? And the Lord says, I'm going to bring everything that this book says, I'm going to bring it down upon this people. But because you have feared me and because you have honored me and rent your clothes and repented, you're going to go to your father's grave in peace. And you won't see this come upon in your lifetime. He didn't change the whole kingdom. But see, God dealt with him and delayed the judgment. It's really, he was a kid. He was 8 years old. Okay, so he had blue blood, so. But he had a heart for God, and when he heard the word, he responded properly. And God stood up and took notice. Not because he was the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer, but because he honored and loved God. He wanted to live it and do it right. And if nobody else did it, he wanted to do it. You know, you have Joshua. What was Joshua? You know, Joshua was a slave. He was a stone cutter. You know, this is his background. This is what he did. What was, so, spirit, Joshua asked God to stop the sun in its place, and God did. He was just a working man, stone cutter. I don't see a theological degree in there. Hung out with Moses. He feared the Lord. He obeyed Moses. Did this. Had the guts to believe the Bible when the rest of the people didn't want to. Only him, Joshua, and Caleb went into the promised land. Everybody else in their generation dropped dead in the desert because they didn't believe. Two men did. What was his, what was the holiness that he had? He believed the Bible. He believed the words that the Lord spoke.
That's it.
What's your great qualification for being a son of the living God? Right? Well, I didn't go to school. I didn't learn this. I didn't do that. So many people tell me, well, I didn't get any training in this. You don't need training. You need to read it, do it, and share it. It's a great thing God called me to do, right? I don't have to memorize it. I just have to open the book and read it. And then apply it in my life. Joshua did that. Those are the words that are spoken. That's what I'm doing. And the miracles that he saw, not because of anything except of his loyalty, his faith, his obedience, were incredible. The sun stopped. And it said, God said, I've never heard any other prayer like that one before. But the Lord did it. Yeah, you got the 12. What were their great qualifications? And here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ comes, the Messiah. The chosen Messiah has been foretold since Genesis 3:15. God has finally got him here. Preaching the kingdom. Doing signs, miracles, and wonders. Showing everybody, I am the Messiah. Proof beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is the Christ. And he picks 12 guys. What were they so special about? They weren't the brightest. All right? What was special about them? They were all working men. One was a tax collector, which means he was sort of a traitor to his nation. He was also an extortioner, because that's how tax collectors made their money. The Roman government got what they wanted, and he got a little extra for himself. He had enough big enough party, so when the Lord called him, he had all his friends and the Pharisees and the scribes. They had such a party. It costs a little bit to do a party. Right? And then he follows the Lord. We call him Matthew. And then you got what Jesus Christ calls two of these guys. Well, most of them are fishermen. And like I said, they're all, Peter's just Peter. You can read about Peter. You can get a sense of who this guy is. And before the day of Pentecost, they're one way. After the day of Pentecost, they're completely different men. They've got power. But while they were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, they had envy of one another. One of them stole from the rest. He also betrayed the Lord at the end. He was a thief. These are the apostles. Jesus picked these people. It wasn't a mistake. Jesus didn't make a... They were the sent one, the ones he was going to send. You got the sons of Zebedee. It says in Mark, you can look it up for yourself, Mark chapter 3, it says they called them the sons of thunder. You know what that means? They were loud. They were loud. They were fighting all the time. Two brothers. It wasn't peaceful. Jesus Christ picked the sons of thunder. That was their nickname. You got I mean, imagine for all time, your nickname is told to everybody. These two are the Sons of Thunder. Go to Matthew chapter 10. The point is, what does it take to be a man or a woman of God that can do the things that God wants done, that can do the signs, the miracles, the wonders, who can change the face of the earth and the generation that they live? What are the qualifications? Same thing that was qualified Joshua. Same thing that qualified Daniel. Same thing that qualified the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, obedience to God, fear for God, love for God, loyalty to God, and obedience to His word, and a will to, no matter what, this is what I'm doing. This is what God said. Life or liberty, none of it matters. This is what God wants. This is what I'm going to do. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. You know, Moses was willing to give up all the wealth of Egypt. Whatever it took, this is what I'm going to do. That's it. You want to walk like one of these ones? You want to walk in this neighborhood? It just takes commitment. Commitment and loyalty. Matthew chapter 10. You think about these qualified, their qualifications as the Lord gives them these things. And it says in verse 1, it says, and when they had called him, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Do you got power? It's after the day of Pentecost. You believe the gospel? Spirit of God's been poured out within you? Then you got it. Do you believe it? Do you choose to manifest it? Now, you don't have to work up to this. I see a whole bunch of people that, I got to juice myself up to get, you know, to have this spiritual moment. No, that's not. God's already juiced. He's already in you. All you have to do is simply do what He says. This is not your directing yourself. This is His directing you. It's God works within you to willing to do of His good pleasure. You have the power because He gave it to you, not because you earned it. It's a gift. You can do whatever He says. Joshua, you know, he did what he did. But I believe God is the one that directed each and every one of these steps. Just like He did for Moses. Remember the foundational class on doing a miracle? Moses, take your shoes off. Takes his shoes off. He says, well, I can't do this job. I can't speak. He said, who made your mouth? I did. You know, what are you talking about? He says, okay. You got a stick in your hand? Throw it down. Turned into a snake. He ran away. Was he expecting this to turn into a snake? What did he do? Just what God told him. Throw the stick down. Pick it up by the tail. Turns into a stick again. You know, he picked it up by the tail. You know, put your hand in your shirt. It was perfectly good when he stuck it in there. Comes out leprous. Oh, my God. I mean, he's freaked out when he sees it. Stick it back in there again. It's whole. This is the foundational class on how to do miracles, healings, anything else. This is how you do it, Moses. Do exactly what I say. I'll take care of everything else. He gave them power. The Lord gave the 12 working, uneducated men. Remember it says these are in Acts, the high priest and the rest said these are uneducated men. They realized that they had been with Jesus. They didn't impress anybody. And he gave to them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 are these, and he goes through their names. And in verse 5 it says, and these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into all the cities of the Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Don't take anything with you. Don't provide neither gold nor silver nor brass or any purse, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, sandals. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Wherever you go, they accept you. They have accepted me. Stay there. And if they don't, brush the dust off your feet as you go. When the Lord told them to do this, I don't believe they'd been with him very long. They just believed what he said. They just believed what he said. When he sent out the 70, they believed what he said. They came back marveling that it was like the devil's like lightning falling from heaven. The power of that. Why did they? Well, first of all, this was to announce this is the Messiah. These are his guys. The whole thing back then was to prove to the world that this was the Messiah. But you know what? We still see it. We still see it in our lifetime for those who believe it. But again, it's at God's direction. Is everyone healed? No. Everyone isn't healed. What are healings for? According to Acts chapter 5, therefore, to confirm the gospel that's being spoken. And I don't think the gospel's being spoken very much in a whole lot of places. So why would God confirm something that's really not his? I don't understand it all. I've seen miracles in this family. And I've seen us suffer at times too. I've prayed for certain things, never got, but I'm still praying for them. I'm praying for Ileana's husband. I prayed for Christine's the day she was born. She got a good one. I got a good one. Same thing I did for Mike. And I got a beautiful daughter-in-law, Sarah. You know, I just trust him. You know, do they have freedom of will to choose each other? Yeah, they did. But I also believe God knows. He sets it up. He delivers. He does what he wants when he wants for his purpose. You know, it tells us the world is going to get darker and darker and more wicked as time goes by. That's turning out to be true in my lifetime. All right? And one day, just before the Lord comes, you know, you're going to have the great tribulation. The devil's going to have a field day. And then the Lord's coming back and the wrath of God's going to be poured out on the earth. But I'm telling you now, it says in I think it's Psalm 91, it says a 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10 at your left hand and 10,000 at your right, but it won't come nigh you. So even if we're in those last days, you know, this last week, Daniel talked about the last week, where's your head at? You know, Joshua ran into and Caleb ran into the land. Giants were there. I mean, we're talking about really scary people. Yet they had the faith that God can do this. And when Caleb was 80 years old, 85 years old, he went up to Joshua and said, "Hey, we've been doing this a while. I'm 85 and I'm as strong as I was the day we went in there. It's time for me to receive my inheritance." It was the last piece of land. God made him wait to the last. You would think that his faithful one would get it first. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the first shall be last, the last shall be first. Yeah, in other words, it's got nothing to do with you deserve anything. Joshua got the land of the giants for him and his family. He received the promise of God. God was faithful. Look at Matthew 11:16. It says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they said, He hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they said, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebender, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified or of her children." And that last phrase is proven right by her deeds. That's what it's talking about. Wisdom, the word, is proven right by its deeds. You know, they looked at John the Baptist, the greatest prophet that ever came, right? They didn't think much of him. Then you had the Messiah himself. Well, this guy's gluttonous, drinks wine, hangs out with sinners. Didn't think much of him. The world is never going to think much of you. And if you want the world's stamp of approval, you're going to be a very sad person all of your life. The 12, they thought they were stupid people. They changed the world. They were fishermen. They were who they were. They were all working people. They all had their flaws. There was nothing super spiritual about them. There was nothing super qualified about them. And you know what the amazing thing to me was? Jesus picked these guys and they were all gone at the crucifixion. You couldn't find them for dust. And there's no plan B. The ministry of reconciliation, the training of the 12. This is it. These flawed, regular folks, when push came to shove, they were behind closed doors. They were hiding under the table. They went back fishing. They had to be convinced after that he was getting up. Mary had run back. None of them believed it. None of them were there. None of them expected it. None of them. And there was no plan B. That's the unbelievable thing. No plan B. if these guys didn't do the job. Who's going to pick it up after this? But they got the spirit. And you know what? That event of the day of Pentecost so changed them that the men who were cowards and didn't have the faith of a Joshua or Daniel, didn't have the guts that some of the great men and women had before, just regular people like us, when they got the spirit, they were changed. You and I have been changed. We don't want to shortchange the Lord. We all got jobs to do. We're all just regular folks. But you are the one who's got the habitation of God in Christ in you. And you're going to go to work. You're going to hang out on the porch. You're going to go to the pool. You're going to do whatever you do in life, and you got God with you, and He can make a difference in every person that you touch. Because we have the job that they were given, the ministry of reconciliation. We got, that's our purpose. That's our purpose in life. And if you miss your purpose, then what are you doing? You know what I mean? Then you're going to be miserable. My purpose, and I don't care how discouraging it looks. It's not like we got thousands sitting in this meeting. Doesn't take thousands. Paul walked into Ephesus. I think it was 12 families, 12 guys. And then in 3.5 years, it was everyone in Asia Minor had heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. No internet. So if God's doing the work and He's got willing people, and there are times, believe it or not, there are times, just like there were with the prophets. I just want you to go sit there by the brook, and I'll feed you with the ravens until the water dries up, and they'll tell you something else to do. I'm going to waste your time for 3.5 years because that's what I want you to do. And the great man of God, a great prophet, sat there and ate what the birds dropped and drank out of the brook until it dried up into a muddy puddle, because it was the will of the Lord. And Ezekiel laid there on the ground naked, looking like a guy who belonged in a mental institution, because it was the will of the Lord. I don't know. I'm just trying to do my best day by day, like you. You know, we love God. We want to do our best. Just don't sell it short. Just don't sell it short. You know, and don't, no, you didn't have to be anything more than you are. So God knew exactly what He called before He called you. And He was happy to do it. So just believe. Like I said, just truly trust. God knows what He's doing. And we can see another revival like we did when we were younger. For some of us, we saw that. But we could see it again. We could see it again, and all we got to do is speak. I don't have to engineer it. All I have to do is speak. We belong to Him. He owns us. He's the one. Our Lord died for us and paid for us. He bought us back with His blood from the devil. We don't belong to Him any longer. Right? It says in Corinthians 16, Second Corinthians, I think, no, it's 1 Corinthians 16. Paul's admonition to them at the end, God's admonition to them at the end is verse 13, watch you and stand fast. You know, you and I are to stand watch and stand fast in the faith and quick you like men. Get some guts. Act like a man. Act like a great woman. Just stand fast in the faith and quit you like men and be strong and let all your things be done with love. That's it. Let all your things be done with love. That's really, I guess, the criteria of an individual who can be successful, walking and doing the things of God. Have the courage to believe what God says to you, and no matter what, you do it. Trust Him, and no matter what, you just stay there. And just have some guts. And you and I, for you and I, it's much easier than it was for them. We got God in Christ in us. We've got that spirit. We are way different people. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.